enjoyed that good singing tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. Go ahead, Brother Terry. Come on, brother. Right.
And I just want to thank God for this church. I've learned more in the last 3 years than I have, you know, had my whole Christian walk. I was able to answer it in a very simple way, and she actually left in tears.
Wow. Amen.
And the other thing is, this week, and I don't know why God's been, you know, blessing me, letting me be a part of certain things in my life.
Help in Jesus.
Monday, on the way to school, Jacob, 8 years old, asked his mom, how would he do it? And he come home that afternoon, tell my wife, and then told me when I got home from work that he told his best friend at school, and he's in a public school, about, you know, God, about hell, and basically laid it out, you know, do you want to spend eternity in hell, or do you want, you know, heaven?
Amen.
God come into your heart. And was telling me about that night when we went to pray. He says, Daddy, pray for my class. Pray, you know, for my whole class.
Amen. Amen.
And then also stay on fire, let my son and my daughter, you know, see me, not be scared to talk to somebody.
Amen.
Amen. I thank the Lord for everything that he's shown me.
Amen, brother. What a blessing. I think sometimes we fail to realize how much our children are getting when we're at church. They say that the mind of a child absorbs like twice what the mind of an adult does. And whether we realize it or not, they're getting it. Amen? Brother, when you got an 8-year-old burdened about his class and witnessing to him, that's a blessing. Amen? And then when you can go out of here and change the heart and the attitude of a 74-year-old woman, brother, that's a blessing right there. Amen? Now, praise the Lord for that. Matthew chapter number 11, a couple of verses of Scripture tonight, very familiar. But Wednesday night is usually our working crowd. Just about everybody that's in this sanctuary tonight has something that you do here in this church. Some of you have more than one thing that you do. Some of you have so many tasks that it's hard to keep focused because you're doing so much. But I want to try to be a blessing to you tonight. I want to talk to our workers just for a few minutes. In Matthew chapter number 11 in verse number 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that," say the next word, "labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you" what?
Rest.
He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I've always been fascinated by this verse because the Lord puts rest and labor together. Isn't that amazing? He said, take my yoke upon you. A yoke is a working instrument. A yoke is not a leisurely object. It's something that you put two oxen together so that they can plow and pull the farm implements or whatever the case may be, the plow or the harrow or whatever they're doing to bust the sod or to reap the harvest, whatever it is. It is a picture of working. When the Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, he's saying, come to work with me. Yeah. Come to work with me. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I get burdened down in the work of the ministry. I have a fella, he may be back there already. I have a heavy counseling appointment tonight. And a lot of times when people say, preacher, I want to see you, it's never really anything good. I mean, just rarely is. Of course, day before yesterday, Brother Larry Day, Sister Vanessa's dad, he called and he said, preacher, I really need to see you. And I said, Brother Larry, what's going on? He said, I just need to see you. Can you meet me? And I said, yes, sir. So I drove up here to the church and I met Brother Larry, and he gave me a pistol. That's a good meeting, amen? He gave me a gun, said, Merry Christmas. I said, well, hallelujah. That's the best counseling appointment I've had in months, amen? But most of the time when people say, preacher, can I see you after church or can I meet you before church, it's usually a bad thing. And I get to thinking about it sometimes, and to be honest with you, I get tired of hearing everybody's problems. Is it okay to say that? Amen. Have you ever been the case? Some of you just have got that kind of face. Everybody likes to tell you what's wrong. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I know some of you ladies get a lot of phone calls. They call you before they would ever call me, and everybody likes to tell you what's going wrong in their lives. And sometimes you get tired of hearing that. But did you know that is part of our working for the Lord? Yeah. Amen. Did you know that everybody who came to Jesus had some kind of problem? Just about everybody he encountered had some kind of trouble. They were lame, they were blind, they were halt, they were withered, they were diseased, they were, in Lazarus' case, dead. I mean, that's a pretty big problem right there, amen? I don't know what I would do if somebody said, preacher, can I see you after church? I died yesterday. I don't know how that would go, amen? But it seems like everybody that comes has a problem. And what we fail to miss sometimes in the ministry is the blessing of the fact that God uses us and he puts us in the path of people who have trouble. And we think that's a burden, but it's really a blessing. Amen. I wonder how many of you have been through some traumatic experience in your life, and through the course of that, God's given you victory. And then after that, God seems to put people in your path that has been through the same thing. Come on, talk to me now. Amen. I don't know how many places I preach, and I'll tell the stories about Levi and the wreck and the coma and all that, and it never fails somebody will come to me after the service who's been through something similar. Amen. Yeah. So could it be that God allows some of the burdens in our life that we might experience and go through them to help other people? I wonder how many lives Sister Ashley Hofford has touched. Not just on the Facebook, but as she speaks to ladies' groups around the area. Amen. God allows us to go through these things that we might use them for his honor and for his glory. Amen. I wonder how many young soldiers coming back from Iraq that Brother Greg could help spiritually. Amen. I imagine there's a few. Amen. So the Lord says, working for me, you'll find rest. I want to look at several aspects of serving God tonight, and I hope to leave you encouraged tonight that it's a good thing to work for the Lord. Sometimes we get discouraged and we get so covered up and, oh God, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do that. I get to do this and I get to do that. Amen. I get to counsel somebody. I get to help a marriage that's in trouble. I get to counsel with a teenager who's having a hard time. I get to help somebody else through their hard time that I've already been through. Amen. I want to look at several things tonight. I want you to notice, number one, the load of service. the load of service. Listen, can I just say to you, the Lord said, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. That picture's work, right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. The only way we'll ever get anything done for God is to work.
Amen.
I am lazy by nature. How about you?
Yeah.
Why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? That's my motto. Amen. If the grass needs cutting today, it's just going to need it more tomorrow. Amen. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. I am lazy. I would rather lay on the couch and drink sweet tea and watch television. I'm no different than anybody else. But if we're going to accomplish anything for God, it's going to involve a dirty little four-letter word, and that is W-O-R-K. Amen. Sister Linda Groves called me yesterday also. And she said, I want to blow these people's mind on Sunday. She said, they have never seen 50 people come in on a bus. She said, but they hadn't met me yet. Amen. She's starting a brand new bus route in the Lake Hartwell area. And she said, I'm going to tear it up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. She said, I am going after them. To put 50 people on that bus doesn't just happen by mistake. You don't just drive a bus down the street and people jump on. Amen. It takes work. I remember when I was a kid, my mom is probably the best bus captain that I've ever known in my life. But I remember her, she had a little plastic box, I believe it was, and it was like a file she had on all of her bus kids. And she would start like on Thursday and Friday and go through and call every one of them. She visited them on Saturday, but she also called them all and said, hey, don't forget, we're doing this on Sunday and we're doing that on Sunday. I mean, she stayed at that thing. It took work. You say, well, I just don't have time. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. That's the one thing we all have in common. We've all got 24 hours in our day tomorrow. Every one of us. You have no less time than I do. I have no more time than you do. Amen. Amen. Life's demanding. I know that. But working for the Lord is a load at times. Now, let me say this. The load is a good thing. The load is a good thing. Some of the greatest times in my memory as a pastor are those few days leading up to our camp meeting or our youth rally when the pressure's on. How many of you work better under pressure? I do too. Brother, a load is a good thing. The old saying, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. Is that right? You know what? The Bible said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I mean, brother, it is a good thing to have a load. You say, preacher, I'm just stretched in so many areas. That's good. You ain't got time to do nothing else.
Right.
Amen. If you're busy for God, you ain't got time for the devil. Amen. So it's a good thing to have a load. I don't remember when the last time was somebody came to me and said, preacher, put something else on me. I don't remember that. People come often and say, preacher, take something off of me. But rarely does anybody come and say, preacher, put something on me.
Yeah.
When I first got saved, God put something in my heart. I don't know if it's desire or just a willingness, whatever it is, I wanted to do something for God. I didn't know much. I'd never taught a Sunday school class. I'd never really studied the Bible in depth. I hadn't done anything. One night on Wednesday night, Brother Frank Bird was our bus director. I believe he was. Yes. And Brother Frank Bird came up to me and said, you need to be driving a bus on Sunday. I didn't bother to tell him. I didn't have a class, whatever it was, license back then. That was before CDLs. I didn't bother to tell him I wasn't old enough to even apply for one. Nobody in that church knew that I should not be driving a bus till I wrecked one. Nobody knew. Thank God one of our men at our church was a deputy sheriff for Paulding County and worked the wreck. You remember that? I just wanted to do something for God. I didn't have the requirements. Now, listen, I'm not promoting that. I don't want you driving one of our buses without a license. But I'm just saying, I wanted to do something for God so bad, I couldn't teach a class. I couldn't speak in front of people, I didn't think. And there just wasn't anything at the church that I felt I was qualified to do. But hey, I can drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. How many of you can drive?
Yeah.
I mean, you can pretty much keep it between the yellow lines.
Yeah.
There's something you can do for God.
Yeah.
Amen. I found something. I mean, brother, I was honored. I thought, you want me to drive a bus?
Yeah.
Why, sure. Amen. And then they jumped down my throat when they found out I didn't have the license. And I wasn't even old enough to have them. Amen. But a load is a good thing. It didn't matter what our pastor said. If they needed somebody to clean the bathrooms, I'll be there. If they needed somebody to work on the buses on Thursday night, I'll be there. I'll never forget Brother Lloyd Davis was our bus mechanic at our church at White Oak. And I showed up one Wednesday night. There was a rear end went bad in one of the buses. And we got all the bolts out, and Brother Lloyd was laying up on the bus with me, and I was laying on the ground. He said, "Just pull that thing out, Eddie." I didn't know it weighed 600 pounds, but I pulled it out, and it landed on top of me, amen. But those are some precious memories in learning to work for God. Now I get to go just all the time and do something for the Lord just about every day of my life. A load is a good thing. It's not a bad thing when you're covered up. It's a good thing when you're covered up. Amen. There are days as a pastor when everything is going good in the church, and nobody's in the hospital and nobody's having service or having surgery or anything like that, I need something to do. Y'all all right? I mean, y'all have jobs that y'all get up and go to every day. There are days I need something to do. Amen. You can only sit and read your Bible and study so much, right? Amen. I'm just saying there is a load in service. Listen, if we're not under the yoke of the Savior, we will be under the yoke of sin. Amen? So it's better to work for the Lord than it is to work for the devil, right? Amen? So what I'm saying, I know you're busy. I know some of you, I wouldn't let you take on anything else if you wanted to. I'd just say flat out, no, you can't do it. You're doing too much now. But some of you ought to be taking on some things. Brother Tony Avery, if he don't mind if I use him for a little bit, he kind of crawled back in the saddle on New Year's Eve. Brother Tony is a preacher and has been for years and hadn't preached in a long time. And it started bothering him. You know, that's one thing I like about our church. You can't stay around here long and do nothing, because it will bother you, amen? And Brother Tony came here, and Brother Tony said, "Preacher, I'd like to just sit back and I'd like to heal." And I said, "Yes, sir, brother, as long as you want." I never pushed him. I never prodded him. But leading up to that service, he said, "Brother Eddie, I think I need to preach Wednesday night or New Year's Eve night." I said, "Yeah, I think you do too." And but I didn't let him out of it either, amen? And he did an awesome job. Well, he called me a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "Brother Eddie, I've got to do something." He said, "I've sat too long." And boy, a light went off in my head. I said, "Brother Alan Parker needs some help out in that teen church. He don't need somebody that'll just show up every now and then and say, 'Oh, I'm here, I'll take a role, I'll do whatever.' He needs somebody to commit to that thing and go to work for the Lord out there with them young people. Hey, I know they're rough, but they'll die and go to hell without Christ. Amen. I know they're rough. They're so rough that we can't bring them in here on a regular basis because they disrupt the service so bad. Yeah. They're so rough that Brother Allen has even at times gotten discouraged because they don't care. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I asked Brother Allen last week, I said, did Brother Tony come out and help you? And he said, "Help my foot." He said, "That guy's a blessing, brother." Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I was at Home Depot yesterday and my phone rang. It was Tony Avery. He said, "Preacher, I think I'm going to have to cook breakfast for them bus workers." I said, "Jump in, brother." When a heart gets right with God, that heart wants to do something for God. You understand, when you're scrambling eggs on Sunday morning or you're stirring grits on the stove, you're doing that for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How many bus workers we got in here? How many of you would say amen to the fact that that breakfast is a blessing? Now see, that's not preaching a great sermon. That's not standing on a street corner and preaching the gospel, but it's putting something warm in somebody's belly that's fixing to go do that very thing. Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. I like that, Brother Tony. I appreciate that. I wish I got more phone calls like that. As far as I know, this is what, February? That's the only two phone calls I've got all year long that said, "Preacher, I got to do something. I've been sitting still too long. Find me a place to serve." Brother Tony, when he called, I hope I'm not embarrassing you, brother, but he did not say, "I want to do something for God as long as it's this, 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 or this." He said, "Preacher, you just tell me where to jump in and I'll jump in." What he was saying was, I need a load. I need to get in the yoke. I need to start serving God. I need to find a place to serve. You tell me what to do. He said, "Would you pray about it?" I said, "I don't have to. I want you to help Alan Parker." "Yes, sir." Did you enjoy it, Brother Tony? Amen. Amen. Rarely have I got involved in doing anything for God that wasn't a blast. Amen. Rarely have I got involved in doing anything for God that wasn't a good thing and a fun thing. Amen. So we need a load. There is a load in our service. We're either going to bear the yoke of Christ or we're going to bear the yoke of sin, one of the two. There's no in the middle and there's no in between. So I would say it'd be better just to get yoked up with Jesus. Amen. And to carry a load for Him. And every now and then we get patting our back and having the pity party and saying nobody appreciates what I do. Hey, look, man, God's keeping score. He knows every prayer you pray. Amen. He knows every track you hand out. He knows every time you witness. He knows every time you crawl on that bus. He knows every time you knock on the door. He knows exactly what you're doing. It doesn't matter whether or not I notice. It doesn't matter whether or not our Brother Tommy, Brother William, Brother Warren, our deacons, it doesn't matter whether or not they notice. Amen. It bothers me sometimes that people need to be appreciated. And I know you do. I like being appreciated too, but that should not be our motive. We should not do what we're doing just because somebody says, "I appreciate what you're doing. Hey, good job." Amen. That should not be our motivating factor. A bus award on Sunday night should not be our motivating factor. That's just a little bit of fun we have in recognizing our bus ministry and keeping the spirit of that alive in our church. Amen. The motive of that should be pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I guarantee you every time you do something for Him, He's pleased. Even if you just do it halfway. He's glad you're doing it. Amen. So there's a load in service, but then He said, "Take my yoke upon you." That's the load. He said, "And learn of me." There's a load in our serving Christ, but there's a learning in our serving Christ. And I say that again. There's a load in serving Christ, but there is a learning in serving Christ. Amen. Do you know how I learn how to be a pastor? Pastoring. Amen. Nobody can teach you to be a preacher.
That's right.
We've had a preacher's class, and I help our guys to make outlines and this, that, and the other, and give them some practical advice, but practical advice is all I can give you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. The best way to learn to do something for God is to do it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I had never taught Sunday school in my life. I had a burden. I felt like God wanted me to teach Sunday school. 3 and 4 year old boys. Let's color Joseph's coat of many colors. You know, something like that. One Sunday morning, the teen Sunday school teacher quit. At Sunday school time, standing on the steps of the church, I just walked up on the argument. The Sunday school director turned around and looked at me and said, "There's your class, go to it." I said, "Right now?" He said, "Ain't no time like the present." He said, "They're in there waiting on you, have at it." I walked in that class, there was about 10 teenagers. I said, "What have y'all been studying?" They said, "The book of John." I said, "What chapter?" They said, "We're on chapter 2. I said, "Well, let's read chapter 2. Do you know where I learned the Bible the most? It was not from sitting in a class. It was from teaching. Amen. Amen. There is a learning in serving Christ. You know why? Because you have no choice. You have no choice. You are either going to get in that Bible, and Brother Warren spends his entire Saturday, normally, that's what he does. He spends his day preparing for his Sunday school lesson on Sunday. Can you imagine what his Sunday school class would be like if he didn't spend that time? Come on. It forces you.
Amen.
Sunday school teachers, think about this. How much time would you spend in your Bible if you didn't teach? I mean, think about it literally. How much time would you spend in your Bible if you did not teach? Sister Legina took a class, how long ago? About a year ago. They hadn't been in church all that long. Hadn't been saved all that long. Somebody said, you think she should be teaching a class? I said, yeah, I think it's a good thing. Have you learned something about your Bible by teaching that class? Amen. I don't think you got to have a college degree to teach three-year-olds. Come on, talk to me. I don't think you got to go to Bible school, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing to set through the Bible Institute, get all the Bible knowledge you can. But I just believe if you'll just get in there and start serving God, you'll learn about Him. Amen. Do you know the very best way to get to know somebody? Go to work with them. Amen. The people you work with know you better than the people you go to church with. Amen. The people you work with know you up one side and down the other. They know your good side. They know your bad side. They've seen your good days. They've seen your bad days. They know your mood swings. They know everything about you. You want to learn something about the Lord? Go to work with Him. Amen. There is a load in serving Christ, but there is also a learning in serving Christ. Amen. Brother Charles, bless his heart, that man has more mercy and more grace than anybody I've ever known. In the early days, I was in my 20s, like 26, 27 years old when I became the pastor of this church, maybe 28, I'm not sure, but I was in my 20s, and I'd never pastored a church before. I drove a bus route. I knew something about the bus ministry. I'd taught Sunday school. I'd led the youth group. I had preached around some, but I'd never pastored a church. I'd never led people in that capacity before. Had no idea. Had no education. Nobody ever told me what to do. You know what my pastor told me? Brother Earl Partain, he'll be here in a few weeks. You know what he told me? I said, Brother Earl, they want me to be their pastor. You know what he said? Same thing he told me when I told him God called me to preach. He said, let her rip, Tater Chip. Y'all wonder where I got that. I said, that's all the advice you've got? He said, mm-hmm. You know, I was expecting, let's go in your office, let's sit down, and you give me some big dissertation of how to be a pastor. He just said, have at it. I remember saying things from the pulpit, and I would gauge Brother Charles to know whether or not I was doing good. Sometimes Brother Charles would say, amen, brother, that's good. And then there'd be times he'd be going, oh, brother. I'm serious. Now I thought, boy, I blew it there. Amen. I learned to be a pastor by pastoring this church. You know what I'm doing? I'm still learning to be a pastor by pastoring this church. I've never met anybody who has arrived. And those who thought they have arrived are the farthest away. Amen. Those who think they know everything know the least. Amen. When you meet a man like Brother Randy Pike, who's been serving God all these years, and when you get a man like that to tell you, preacher, it's just beginning to dawn on me how little I know, you're talking to a wise man. Amen? So serving Christ involves a load. If you're not loaded down with doing something for God, you need something to do. Amen? I tell you what, if you're not loaded down with doing something for God, see Brother Charles after church. See Brother Robbie after church. Brother Warren after church. See who's over the bus breakfast. Who sets all that up? Miss Tabitha. See Miss Tabitha. Anybody can fry an egg. Yeah. Amen. Amen. My mama makes a casserole. Is that what you call that, a breakfast casserole? That thing's actually pretty doggone good. She makes it on Saturday night. She don't even get up on Sunday morning. Pop brings it to the gym. Amen. That's a blessing. Brother Greg does bus breakfast. Grits and eggs. Amen, brother. There is something you can do for God. You know what? You know what? If we're not doing something for God, we get so overwhelmed with self. I've got all this going on in my life. And you know what that is? That's depressing. Serving God gives us something outside of ourselves. Does that make sense? It gives us something to take our focus and our minds off ourselves. It's hard to be discouraged about your bills when you visit a bus route, isn't it? And you knock on those trailers that don't have any glass in the window. They've got cardboard taped up over the doors, over the windows. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen. It makes you feel pretty good when you go back home, doesn't it? I tell you, brother, I have never, ever came home from the rescue mission discouraged about what I have. Not one time. I have always come home from the rescue mission, looked at my house and thought, man, I live in a mansion. Amen, and it is compared to a cardboard box under a bridge on I-20, amen. Serving Christ involves a load, but it also involves learning. Learning. But then there is a lowliness in serving Christ. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Watch what he said. For I am meek and lowly in heart. For I am meek and lowly in heart. A haughty spirit will get you nowhere on the Carrollton bus route.
That's right.
Are you listening? You know the last thing those kids need to feel? That you think you're better than them. Amen? That's the last thing they need to feel. I'm glad we have a church where nuts can come in and feel comfortable. Am I okay with saying that? I mean, seriously, they get out of this nut house down here, they're coming here. Other churches in our area, send them here. People with mental problems. Amen. I'm glad they fit right in, ain't you? Amen. You ever been to those churches where you felt like you just weren't clean enough? You ever been to those churches where you feel like your car didn't cost enough? Where you felt like you had to keep up with the Joneses, and I don't mean Alan. Amen. Just to belong there. I'm glad we got a church you can walk to. Amen. We don't ever need to get to the place where we think we're better than somebody else. Amen. It wouldn't hurt you every now and then on Sunday morning just to slip out of here as we dismiss and go out there and hug on them bus kids a little bit. Amen. Come down off your high horse. Realize that all you are is a sinner saved by grace. Amen. We have some people come in here that ain't all together. Amen. Remember that old boy? I hadn't seen him in a while. He rode a Harley Davidson to church every week. He had that do-rag on his head, and he wore them leather pants. Y'all remember that? I liked that guy. Somebody said, you think you ought to dress like that to come to church? No. But I wouldn't hinder him from coming. Amen. Gary. I liked that fella. I'm glad he was able to feel comfortable coming in here. There was a lady here Sunday morning who said she was an evangelist. Y'all okay? You know what I hope? I hope she comes back next Sunday. Yeah, but she don't believe like we do. She might if she stays around a little while. Amen? Amen. I think if you have a church where people who are totally different from you doesn't come in pretty regular, you're not doing a good job. Amen. I've watched them in churches turn their nose up because people don't smell just like they ought to smell. Amen. Let's do away with your shower. Let's do away with your hot water. Let's cut your power off for about 3 weeks and let's see how you smell. Amen. The only difference between you and them is the grace of God. Amen. Are we all right? I'm just telling you, man, it's a joy to serve the Lord. Amen. Listen, I realized that I don't run around waiting on millionaires because they don't need nothing. As far as they're concerned, they've got it all under control. They've got their money. They've got their CDs in the bank. They've got their 401Ks. They've got their big house and a nice subdivision. They've got their BMWs and their Mercedes. They don't need me. Well, what about these people who are down on their luck? Battling cancer, battling illnesses that the doctor can't even figure out. Amen. That's somebody I can help. Amen. There is a lowliness in serving the Lord. If we're going to do anything for God effectively, we're going to have to come down. We're going to have to come down from where we are and realize we are no better than the people we're serving. We're no better than the people we're helping. Those Carrollton bus route kids, they're pretty rough. Their language ain't all that. Oh, I've heard them cuss a blue streak. I'd rather have them cussing here than down there behind bars at the jail. Amen. They're in the right place. I'll never forget one time I had a fellow in our church, and I've said his name, several people know exactly who he was, but he was pretty bad, smoked dope. Smoked a lot of dope. And he was in church pretty regular. I had a man in my church say, "That guy smokes dope. He ought not to be here." I thought, where should somebody be who smokes dope? Yeah. We okay?
Yeah.
That's what I told him. He said, "Well, he don't need to be in here." I said, "Yeah, he does."
Yes, sir.
I said, "You're the one who sounds like you're all righteous. Maybe you don't need to be here."
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. We're going to have to come down a notch or two. Amen. I'm glad we got a church where an old dope smoker can come in. Amen. Ain't you? As long as he ain't trying to sell it to your kids, leave him alone. As long as you ain't buying it from him, leave him alone. Amen. There is a load in serving Christ. There is a learning in serving Christ, but there's a lowliness in serving Christ. Do you know the more I serve God, the more I realize how just nothing I am?
Amen.
The more I realize just how little I am. I'll just tell you, this ain't got nothing to do with the message, but have you ever heard of that group, Casting Crowns? The huge contemporary Christian rock band, or whatever you call them. They were at the same place Friday night where I was. They weren't in the service with us. They were performing in the gymnasium. I was in the Cultural Arts Center. I told a fella that belongs to the church there, I said, they started an hour before we did. I said, "Why don't you go over and just ask somebody at the door how many they got?" They had right at 1,000. We had 1,500. I thought about this. Everybody knows who Casting Crowns is, right? Not everybody knows who Eddie White is. Well, what about this? Who don't know who Jesus Christ is? Amen. He still draws the bigger crowd. Amen. I thought that was pretty good. I was just throwing it at that end. Amen. There is a lowliness in serving God. Amen. It's an honor to serve Him, isn't it? You ever just think about it? Lord, why would you use somebody like me? Not the attitude, "God, here I am and I'm all that. Why aren't you using me?" I remember having that attitude. I remember sitting on the pew at White Oak Springs, and while other preachers would preach, and my thought in my mind was, "I could do better than that." Is it okay to be that honest?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to preach so bad is what it was. But I would sit there and thought, "Oh, good night, man. Give me that outline. Let me show you how it's done." And God said, as long as you've got that attitude, you're going to sit right there. As long as you've got that attitude, you're going to sit right there. And sit right there I did.
Yeah.
One Wednesday night, I went to my preacher after church, and I said, "Brother Earl," and you can ask him, he'll be here in a couple of weeks. I said, "Brother Earl, what do I need to do as a young preacher?" I said, "Do I need to print up business cards and go around and visit on Wednesday nights and kind of put myself out there?" He said, "No, you need to be faithful right here."
Amen.
He said, "If you want God to use you, you just sit still, boy." I took his advice. I never printed a business card. I never went around pumping preachers for appointments. But somehow I had more appointments than all the preachers in our church put together. Amen? You're going to have to get low. If you want to be lifted up, you're going to have to bring yourself down. That's what Jesus did. The Bible said he made himself of no reputation. Amen. Yet he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God in the flesh, but yet he became a servant. Amen. There is a load in serving Christ. There's a learning, and there is a lowliness. Now, lastly, and I'm done. He said, "I am meek and lowly in heart," in verse 29. He said, "And ye shall find rest unto your souls." Wow. There's a load in serving God. There's a learning in serving God. There's a lowliness in serving God. But lastly, there's a leisure in serving God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
You know the best thing I can do when I don't feel good? Come to church.
Yes, sir.
I know if you're running a fever, you need to keep that stuff at home, keep it away from everybody else.
Right.
But how many times have you ever come in on a Wednesday night and you just felt like a ragged dog and you felt beat down, felt like you couldn't go another step, but somehow you made yourself go on anyway and you felt so much better?
Yeah.
Amen. You know why? Because there is a leisure or a rest in serving God. I can't explain it. I really can't. The hardest thing, I labor more preaching than some of you do on your jobs. I'm not tonight. I hadn't broke a sweat, but most of the time you know how I do. Amen. Friday night in New York, I preached for just over an hour and probably got as much exercise as somebody who had ran 10 miles. But you know what? That felt good.
Yeah.
It felt good. I stopped by here the other Saturday. I forgot what I was doing, and I started to drive by, and I felt guilty. I started down 61, and I saw Brother Warren. I forgot who all was out there. Brother Frank, several of you. Brother Tony, they were unloading 20-feet-long pews. Do you know how much a 20-feet-long pew weighs? I can tell you. How much, brother? About 300 pounds. They were out there all having hernias, struggling and tugging on them things. I mean, they just couldn't even move them. You tried to sell them before you got them here. Amen, Brother Tony. And I started driving by the church, and the Lord said, "You sorry dog. You with all them muscles and all that strength, and just, man, you could really be a blessing to them guys." Amen. So I turned my truck around, I came back, and I said, "Hey, pick that end up over there, pick that end." I stuck the dolly up under there for him to roll them on, amen? But I was so glad I stopped. Amen. I'm telling you, there is a leisure. You'll feel better after doing something for God than you did before you did it. Amen. We have some big days around here. Our water battle day. I know that's carnal. It's carnal as all get out. But them kids sure enjoy it. And they show up for it big time.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You'll feel better for taking part of that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. A couple of Sundays from now, I think maybe three or four Sundays from now, you'll see me in cowboy hat and chaps and Colt 45 on my side. We're going to have cowboy day.
Yeah.
And you pray when we go to shooting, they don't come arrest us. Amen.
Yeah.
But seriously, you'll feel better after taking part in doing something for God. There's a leisure in it. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you feel worse when you haven't been serving Him?
Amen.
Yeah. Every one of us know that to be the truth. Here's the thing. Find you a place to serve. Find you a place to serve. Sister Christy been coming here, what, a couple of months? I mean, she come in here, she ain't no Bible scholar. I don't reckon. She don't know Greek nor Hebrew.
No.
Probably ain't never taught a class, have you? You know what she did the first day she came here? First day. She went out on the street with them guys preaching. First day. Wow. That's a leap, isn't it? Go from nothing to street preaching? You say, "Oh, did she preach?" No, but she can hold a sign that says you must be born again. She may not stand out there and preach a message, but she can stick a track in a car window. Amen. You know what she does every Thursday night or whenever it is when they go?
Every Sunday.
I thought they'd change. She goes to that guardian angel with Brother Ryan and Miss Taylor. She don't miss. Wow. And she ain't been here near as long as some of you. She just found her place and jumped in. She made up her mind, "I want to be a part." Brother Keith, as far as I know, you got a car?
I had one.
You had one. Brother Keith's a Yankee. Bona fide New York Yankee. Jersey. That's worse. No automobile. Has a crippling disease. You know what he did Sunday? He rode a bus. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Gets out there every week and rides that bus. He ain't even got a way to get here. Somebody has to go get him.
Yeah.
I wonder how faithful you'd be if you didn't have a car.
That's good.
Wow. You see, it's people like Brother Keith. It's people like Miss Christie,
yes, sir,
who count it an honor just to get to do something for God. Count it an honor. Old Brother Thomas sitting back there. Biggest skint head Paulding County ever saw. My little brother grew up around him. John says, oh, you wouldn't believe that guy. I said, yeah, I know what he's like now. I can't imagine. Oh, yeah. You know what he did? Now, I hope he don't mind my saying this. He hated black people. Brother Keith said, if it's brown, it's down. He did. He was a racist, to say the least. He used to come to me with tears running down his face. And here's what he'd say. He'd say, pray for me. I hate everybody. He was sincere. He hated people. I mean, with a passion, he hated people. So you know what God did? God said, I want you to work in the junior church. With all them little black kids. I dare you. I double dog dare you. To go out there and mess with one of them Sunday morning. He may wear a dress, but he can be a pretty bad dude. He really don't wear a dress, it's a kilt. If you look that up in the Greek, it's dress. Amen. Skirt. Skirt. And a blouse. Amen. Pumps. I'm telling you, man. Brother Thomas, if I told you tonight after church, I don't want you in junior church anymore, would that bother you?
Yeah.
He loves it. He loves it. Isn't that just like God? He can take what you used to hate and give you love for it. That can't nobody take away. I'm telling you, you cannot beat serving God. You can't beat it. Harley, you doing okay over there, buddy? You can't beat serving God. It pays in dividends that money can't buy. Amen. Do you know why it's so easy for me and some of you? You know how sweet that nap is on Sunday afternoon? Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's like ain't no better time in the world to take a nap, is there? It's because you've given yourself serving God that day. And He gives you that rest you need. There is a leisure in serving God. There is a load in serving God. There's a learning in serving God. And there is a lowliness in serving God. How's your load? How's your load? Have you got plenty to do? Do you need to get busy? How's your learning? How's your learning? Are you learning more about Him? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Yes. Amen. Brother Charles spent months and months and months in his Sunday school class teaching the life of Christ. I think there's no better subject for a Christian to study. Amen. Than the life of Christ. Are you learning about Him? What do you know about Christ today that you didn't know yesterday? What do you know about Him now that you didn't know a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago? Amen. If you're working for Him, you're learning of Him. You're learning how He loves people. Amen. And you're learning how to be humble. If you're learning about Christ, those are two things you're learning. You're learning about people and you're learning how to be humble. Amen. Amen. How's your learning? How are you in that humbleness department? Do we need to come down a notch or two? God, forgive me for being judgmental. God, forgive me for looking down my nose at somebody. God, forgive me for even thinking why in the world they even bring those kids in here. Amen. Amen. Is there peace in your heart? tonight? Is there rest for your soul like he talked about? Boy, I've got rest in mine. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. It pays to serve the Lord. You can't beat him. You can't beat him. I'd rather work for him than the largest corporation on the face of this planet. Amen? I'd rather work for him than be the President of the United States. Matter of fact, that's the last job I'd want. I'd rather ride the back of a garbage truck, man, than be the President of the United States. Amen. Well, let's come get us a prayer sheet. Get me a couple of guys down here to hand those out as they come. And let's spend some time in prayer. Don't forget. Sister Ashley, do you know what time your appointment is? 10 a.m. in the morning. Oh, okay. But you are seeing a cardiologist, is that right? Okay, 10 a.m. Boy, y'all keep that in prayer. Pray till you get done and consider yourself dismissed, all right?